Right, returning to the council interview with Mayor Margot and Acting General Manager Lindsay. The next topic is the Safer Local Roads, Oliver Street application, $1.182 million. And of course, roads are very much part of council's core business, streets and roads. Lindsay, would you like to expand on this one?
Yeah, thanks, David. Yeah, the Safer Local Roads and Infrastructure Program, it's an important grant for us. It's a federal grant. We made an application for the Oliver Street upgrade back in June, and we're still waiting on a response, but it's federal government funded. There is a co-funding element to it, but that also is federal government funding, so it's fully grant funded, this project, if it is approved. It's an important piece of work because it's about community safety. Oliver Street has a daycare centre there, and it's really about creating improved conditions for vehicle pedestrian separation. So think shared footpath, for instance, that's going to be delivered. There's upgrades to drainage, upgrades to the road, curb and gutter. And this shared pathway, which runs from Church Street all the way through. So it's a big project. It's about $1.2 million all up. And we're really hopeful that we'll receive approval for that application and that work can commence in due course.
It certainly would be a big plus, given also TAFE, National Parks and so on. And that particular street is the key linkage to Red Range, Pinkett and all the rural areas beyond. So it's obviously a highly trafficked street.
Correct. That's true.
Okay. Moving on now to page 63 of the Council Business Paper, report number 7.15, Progress Report Highlands Hub. Quite a lengthy report to Council. And over to you, Margot.
Yeah, thank you. I think this is about the third report that's come up on the Highlands Hub in this term of council. And just to give the community a bit of background on the project, that the project was actually initiated through community consultation as part of developing the previous economic development strategy. And as most of you are aware, in my role as economic development back when I worked at council, I wrote that strategy and conducted that consultation. So that's where the Highland Hub was born. Then the idea got taken into a framed up into a concept. That concept was then moved into a feasibility study. So that was conducted with Gillian Kilby, who founded The Exchange in Dubbo and has also now opened another co-working space in Narrabri a couple of years back. And she helped also council at the time to figure out where the best location was. So we did look at a number of locations, including the old railway station, actually. But the old Holden building was deemed to be the best location because of the footprint, the location itself on the main street. Then it was taken into developing a business case for it, and then taken through, and I wrote the grant application which funded the project. Then we went into, once the project was funded, really challenging to get builders at that time. And also the team had to also project manage that build, which was something a little bit out of our comfort zone. But thankfully, the staff supported me in project managing that build. So we had the opening happened. At that time, I stepped back from operations. And the first report that came back questioning the utilisation of the Highlands Hub and why it was costing money when it should be making money was around the operation of that hub. And the report clearly stated that resources just weren't there to support that utilisation being achieved. So that's now been corrected. There is some more focus on resourcing and We will continue to do that. But the staff that are there are doing, you know, that job plus their other jobs. So we do need to look at that resourcing point a little bit more into the future. And council are looking to potentially reinstate a manager of economic development, which has been not there for quite some time. So this report was really an update on the temporary marketing and engagement plan that was put in place to improve the utilisation of this great facility in our community. So the report states that it is heading in the right direction, and so staff have put in that temporary engagement and marketing plan. The booked hours are strongly up year on year, which is a good sign. The brand and website were moderately refreshed, but there's more to do in that space. The open day was a great success. That converted some new users, which is good news. So getting people back in the building. You know, the feasibility on the hub was, we really need to get all of the offices utilised. That's what makes it a success financially. So increasing the office utilisation is really important. Council did, resolve previously when the utilisation was down to halve the fees. That decision has made an impact now, because when you are increasing utilisation and doubling utilisation, you're actually not getting as much value as you would have got if the fees had have remained the same. And certainly the advice at the time when doing the feasibility and talking to other smart region incubators in the region was it's the last thing you should do to improve utilisation is to reduce the fees. But that's where we're at. So now moving forward, it's great to see progress on that plan. But council in the last meeting set a little bit more strategic direction for that temporary marketing engagement plan to, you know, ensure that we're measuring what matters and that there's a simple KPI dashboard that we can see the utilisation, the conversion, the repeated use, and importantly, the yield. We need to improve the yield so that we can actually get more value out of this asset for the community. And the other thing was to provide direction to tell a bit more of an impactful story online. So the plan needs to have value propositions that are that reflect the needs of the key segments, which are clearly identified in the current plan. And also the booking platform that sits behind it has a lot of functions that could be leveraged to also increase capability and booking conversions. So that was a bit more strategic direction that council provided for the staff to put in place as part of the marketing and engagement plan. And certainly we will look at the fees and charges again in the next round of fees and charges, which happens in the 26-27 review of all council fees and charges.
Okay. Mark O'Pung, just on the question of feasibility, currently the income seems like it's 20,000 or less. The actual operational budget for this current year now, I guess that will be contained in the council's 25-26 budget estimates. So people wishing to have a look at income and expenditure could do so by referring back to, I guess, the June meeting.
Yes, certainly. And also, we'll have quarterly reporting on this now. So we'll make sure that's clear in the council report, or the general manager will. We can keep track of it. So it's a great asset for the community. It was put there for a reason. We just need to make sure we've got the resources and the effort that needs to go into it to keep it viable, and to ensure that we're getting out of it what it was originally intended to do, which was to drive creativity, growth, incubation, a place for you know, small business to go if they can't afford a rental on the street yet, a place where they can go and grow their business, get support, and then move out into the main street. You know, that was one of the things. But it's also a great facility for training and meetings and workshops and all of that kind of thing, which we didn't really have before. So, you know, we are bound by the grant to have it operational and keep it going till 2029, I believe. And so, you know, it's in our best interests to make it work, to realise its potential, and to ensure that asset remains something that the community and visitors can actually utilise.
Okay, thank you, Margot. Now, anything further on that, or we move on to an additional item, the eighth item, the local government conference, certainly very important. I've been to a lot of those in years past, later this year, and it's a forum where local government throughout New South Wales can really put an overall case and get that supported if it has the support of the members, delegates, and thus have a weight of all of New South Wales local government to put cases to state and federal government where necessary. And perhaps, is that one for...
Yep. No, that's... look, advocacy is a key part of the mayoral role. And it's important that, you know, we go to these conferences and other and councillors go to these conferences. They're a great resource for councillor development, professional development, to understand what's going on out there, but also to network. But part of going to a conference, I believe, we need to be proactive in putting up our own motions. And we did that at the ALGA conference, and we had some success with the housing motion. Unfortunately, the biochar motion was deferred to the next meeting. The needs-based funding didn't quite get through. It was a bit too ambitious. And I think the other one was on the federal assistance grants, which went through as well, alongside 16 other motions, if my memory serves me correctly, that also were from other local councils advocating for that 1% federal assistance grants to be returned. That's really critical for financial sustainability of councils. So the next one coming up is the Local Government New South Wales Annual Conference, and we resolved to submit 7 different motions. Now, whether they all get through, we don't know yet, but hopefully they will. And those were around councillor remuneration, requesting local government New South Wales to press the New South Wales Government and Remuneration Tribunal to ensure that their 2026 review reflects the diversity and complexity of council roles, because workloads have increased significantly for councils and, you know, fair pay sustains inclusive and capable local democracy. The second one is around council and community place-based funding. So this is seeking a new framework that provides direct, recurrent and untied funds to rural and regional councils, and it supports partnerships with community organisations and social enterprises, which we know are constantly trying to chase top-down funding and sometimes getting away from their core purpose and what actual and filling the gaps in our community that we need from a social point of view. So what we're trying to do with that one is reduce the reliance on ad hoc grants and strengthen local capacity to fill those gaps. The third one is around visitor economy and destination management, and this is about establishing a dedicated stream for tourism product and experience development. I find that historically the focus has been on events, and events are great, but we need that foundational, those foundational product experiences and tourism product and experience development and design development and delivery to happen, and then the events come in there and they boost that up, where it's been the other way around. So that's the advocacy work in that regard. Around economic development too, this is about also establishing a recurrent untied program for rural, regional, remote councils to resource core economic development functions and precinct activation, to fund smaller local activation precincts. So they had the big SAP precincts, the special activation precincts. What we're saying is we need some smaller recurrent funding and projects around local activation precincts. So the smaller communities get to activate and initiate and enable economic development opportunities so we can attract population, so we can grow, so we can create more housing opportunities or whatever the case might be. And on housing, another one on housing. Now, this motion has been adapted from ALGA, which it did get through at ALGA. But this is about creating a regional local housing infrastructure fund to finance enabling works. So that's around roads, water, sewer, power and drainage. So we need to support local housing strategies and also manage RES, renewable energy zone and seasonal workforce pressures. We have a big focus on housing at the moment, and we're working a pipeline of changes or initiatives to come through in the next 12 months or so that will really try and address the housing shortage whilst making sure that we keep housing affordable so that people will want to move here. So councils can, so this regional local housing infrastructure fund advocacy piece is so that councils can unlock land but not have the barrier of a lack of infrastructure funding. Because you can't have one without the other. And the final one we've already kind of mentioned is the financial assistance grants and also the biochar motion, which I mentioned got deferred at the ALGA conference, but we're putting it back up at this conference as well. And that's around the CETA project, to support the CETA project.
Well, we've covered a lot of topics and a lot of years and a lot of information. Is there anything else as a wrap-up that you'd like to cover or you can call
No, just to remind the community about the conversations with councillors if you want to drop in and have a chat. I'll be there at every one unless I'm ill or done my back in again or something like that, David, but I'll be there most of the time, but certainly there'll be councillors there and the general manager generally attends in case there's anything operationally related. But also remember that we do stream our council meetings online, so you can go back and watch the council meetings. As chair, I really try to encourage debate in the chamber, and I go through each item so the community, as they're watching, they can understand what it is we're talking about. And so the papers are available, but sometimes people just want to watch. But the website council has got all of the information. Please like our Facebook page and keep up to date with what's going on. There can tend to be a little bit of misinformation out there. The source of truth is council channels, and I'd encourage the community to interact with that. But please do come along to conversations with councillors.
Thank you, Margot, and thank you, Lindsay. I think this forum is certainly an excellent opportunity to get the information out that what's going on in council and what the opportunities are. So thank you both for coming along.
Thank you.
And I believe it's been a great wrap-up of all of the activity in the month prior. Thank you.